This is the last session in a mini-series on prayer that has had as its focus the seven activities of prayer. This is also a follow-up session, yet another part two, lo and behold, which comes from the seventh activity, which we looked at last time, which is adhering to God in faithfulness through thick and thin. In that session, I mentioned the category of prayer called lament, which will be the focus of our time here. To be honest, this is a more or less a new category for me. I was talking with a friend the other day, made mention of it, and he said he had never even heard the word. What is disastrous about it is just how prevalent this topic is in Scripture and how needed it is for Christians in a broken world, as you will see. Because this is a new category for me, I am heavily relying on the book that has been instructing me on it, called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament, and it's by Mark Vrogop. It came out in 2019. It's published by Crossway. I cannot recommend it more highly. You need to purchase this book and read it and consume it. I've been encouraged by a phrase I heard a while ago that applies to the urgency of needing this prayer category in our lives. And it simply goes like this. We do our theology in the light so that we can walk in the dark. Essentially, it means we need to do our theology when life is well and we're thinking clearly and things are good so that we'll know what to do when life strikes and we endure difficulties and trials to come. And lament is a category we need to be familiar with. So let's start by asking the most important question. What is lament anyway? For many of us, maybe we would say that lament is being sad or sorrowful. But lament is much more. Vrogop, the author of Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, says that, quote, lament can be defined as a loud cry, a howl, or a passionate expression of grief. However, in the Bible, lament is more than sorrow or talking about sadness. It is more than walking through the stages of grief. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust, end quote. He describes lament as, quote, how Christians grieve. It is how we bring our sorrow to God, end quote. Lamenting is uniquely a Christian activity. He then gives this powerful description, and again, I'm going to quote, lament is how you live between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. Lament is how we bring our sorrow to God. Without lament, we won't know how to process pain. Silence, bitterness, and even anger can dominate our spiritual lives. Without lament, we won't know how to help people walk through sorrow. Instead, we'll offer trite solutions, unhelpful comments, or impatient responses. Lament is how Christians grieve, and Christianity suffers when lament is missing. End quote. Isn't that a striking picture? He says it differently in another chapter when he says, lament is how we learn to live between the poles of a hard life on the one side and God's goodness on the other. Essentially, lament is strictly a Christian category because it is the response to believing in a good God while living in a broken world. We have God's promises, and yet they are not fully realized. Lament is the Bible's answer for how to endure through the suffering we have been promised as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as we pass through many dangers, toils, and snares. Living in this world is to behold the reality of pain and suffering to various degrees for every person. Even if God grants us to live a long life, it only means you will live to weep at many funerals of family and friends. We need this category so that we will know how to respond when difficulty visits our address. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy is broken into three parts. We're going to focus on the first part, which outlines four key elements that make up what lament truly is. Vrogop says that each step of lament is a part of a pathway toward hope. And I want to spend the rest of our time walking through each of these steps so that we may endure well through whatever you are currently going through, will go through, or to keep us from offering, as Vrogop says, trite solutions, unhelpful comments, or impatient responses to those who are suffering. Ultimately, I hope this will whet your appetite to pick up this book. So step one is simply keep praying. Keep praying. It might sound simple, but nothing can be more fundamental. To lament is to resolve to keep turning to God in prayer. Prayer in whatever form is an act of faith, but lament is probably the most difficult and most faith-filled. There is a temptation to say nothing. The thoughts filling our minds are, how could God, who is good, do this? Or how could a good God allow me to suffer in this way? And that causes us to question talking to him. But Vrogop says, there's something far worse than speaking to God in prayer. And that is silent despair. Giving God the silent treatment is the ultimate manifestation of unbelief. Despair lives under the hopeless resignation that God doesn't care. He doesn't hear, and nothing is ever going to change. People who believe this stop praying. They give up. End quote. Does doing this mean that the pain will go away? No. This is not a take two before bed and you will wake up fine. Grief and pain do not work that way. I love how Vrogop says this. He says, lament is the song you sing, believing that one day God will answer and restore. End quote. The psalmists are no strangers to pain and suffering and clearly do not portray that their prayers just fix the problem that brought them there in the first place. It gives voice to grief before the living God. This step of addressing God in prayer is the door that opens to hope, the light at the end of the tunnel. And this light leads us to the next step, which is to bring our complaints, to God. Now, this might hit your ears as odd because complaining is a thoroughly negative word. Nobody likes a complainer. Yet, the Psalms are filled with complaints to God and thus clearly are not sinful. And moreover, as Vrogop helpfully points out, they were even set to music as an entire congregation sang their frustration. We have to remember that the Psalms are Israel's song book. Essentially, there is no lament if there is no complaint. Now, it is very important to note that this is not permission to vent our anger at God. Anger, by definition, is to perceive something or someone to be wrong. Someone cuts you off, you get angry. So anger against God is wrong because it is ultimately accusing him of wrongdoing. This is a much bigger topic than we can focus on now, but I commend a book by Robert Jones called Uprooting Anger and cannot recommend that more highly. So what are complaints then? Vrogop quotes Todd Billings in his book, Rejoicing in Lament, and there Billings says this, and this is worth every bit of it. It says, writers of laments and complaints in the Psalms often seek to make their case against God, frequently citing God's promises in order to complain that God seems to be forgetting his promises. They throw the promises of God back at him. End quote. That is really helpful. It is not venting, but taking God's promises and throwing them back at him. Later, Vrogup, very helpful, says that lament is how those who know what God is like and believe in him address their pain. God is good, but life is hard. Enter complaint. Lament is the language of a people who believe in God's sovereignty, but live in a world with tragedy. So, godly complaining still trusts God even while it expresses the pain experienced. This is not the case with venting anger, which is to accuse God of wrongdoing. Ultimately, godly complaints will draw us closer to God and not distance us from him in unbelief. There are many examples of complaints formed as why questions. Let me show you two of them. Psalm 21, verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Or Psalm 44, 23 and 24, it says, awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Why do you forget your affliction and oppression? Our affliction and oppression, sorry. And then there are also examples shaped as how questions. Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Or Psalm 35, 17, how long, O Lord, will you look on? A few ways are given in this book in how to complain in a godly way. First, to come humbly. Let us not forget, dear brother, dear sister, that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. This means we don't come as those who are going to teach God a lesson. We come lowly. As Vrogup says, before you start complaining, be sure you've checked arrogance at the door. Come with your pain, not your pride. End quote. Second, pray the Bible. Let the scriptures guide us in how other godly men complained, and let us find the words they used and adopt them for ourselves. If these were recorded in the Songbook of Israel, we can be sure that they have been preserved for our good as well. Third, be honest. God already sees our hearts, so why do we hide from him? It's so natural for us to do this, isn't it? Why tell him what we feel is safe when he sees what is already there? If Jesus, the Son of God, who was coexistent with his Father from eternity past, can say, my God, why have you forsaken me? It only makes sense that we can tell God honestly as well. And lastly, don't just complain. Complaint is an essential step in lament, but it is one stone on the path, and it is not the last one. Vrogup says, we bring our complaints to the Lord for the purpose of moving us toward him. We allow the honest opening of our souls to become a doorway to the other elements of lament, which leads us to step three. Ask boldly. To ask boldly. As we move along the path of lament, this moves us from the why question of complaint to the who question of request, as is so helpfully said in this book. Bold asking requires confidence in God, his promises and character. It is to hold fast to him and to his word in the storm. Vrogup also points out that bold asking eclipses our complaints. This is helpful because this category doesn't eliminate our complaints, but sets our attention on God and his promises and what he is able to do instead of focusing in on our complaints. He says, who God is becomes more prominent reality while not removing the lingering questions. As we make our bold requests, why is this happening? Moves into the shadow of who is God? End quote. An example is given in Psalm 22, the very psalm Jesus quotes from while he is hanging on the cross. Verses 1 to 2 are the complaint, as that I mentioned earlier, my God, why have you forsaken me? But then in verse 3, Vrogup introduces us to what he calls the yet bridge. Notice the change. So we have the my God, why have you forsaken me part, and then he says, yet you are holy. Enthroned on the praises of Israel, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. David does not get stuck in complaint, but moves toward God. Vrogup says of this, David's complaints are not cul-de-sacs of sorrow, but bridges that lead him to God's character. They are anchors. They anchor us to the yet of God's character. End quote. Later, David will bring bold requests of deliverance, but this yet bridge is essential to getting there. Here, again, 9 biblical examples are given, of which I'll just going to simply quote. We don't have time to get into all of them specifically. So the 9 different requests in the Psalms are this. First, arise, O Lord. Second, grant us help. Third, remember your covenant. Fourth, let justice be done. Fifth, don't remember our sins. Sixth, restore us. Seventh, don't be silent. Listen to me. 8, teach me. And 9, vindicate me. You'll have to buy the book to look at these more specifically, and they're so helpful. The essence of bold asking, though, is to rely on God in the midst of pain and sorrow. And this leads us to the last step, which is also the goal of lament. And that is to choose to trust. It is not true lament to just complain. True lament leads us to choose to trust God. This is, as Vrogup mentions, not something we do once, but something we do as long as the pain continues. He quotes, life isn't that simple. Grief is not that tame. Instead, we must enter into lament over and over so that it can keep leading us to trust. End quote. Choosing to trust is not something we do once, but something we continuously do. And lament is the category the Bible gives us to grow in active trust. It is the action of a long-distance race, not a sprint. In lament, we set our hope on God now and trust in His future answer. This pattern is clear throughout the Psalms, and it is usually seen in the words, but, however, and yet. Here are a few examples. Psalm 31:12-14 say, I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. Or Psalm 86:14-15. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. When we speak of trusting, we are again faced with the activity of accepting from God one's own situation as He has shaped it. We wonder why God has allowed certain things to come to pass. Of this, Vrogup helpfully says, choosing to trust through lament requires that we rejoice without knowing how all the dots connect. We decide to let God be His own interpreter, rejoicing that somehow His gracious plan is being worked out even if we cannot see it. End quote. He later says that lament tunes the heart so that it can sing about trust. It is this area of trust that is our safe harbor, not our requests being answered the way we always want. This is the arena of worship as we rejoice in who God is and rest in Him, when we rest in Him and take refuge in Him, our strong tower. So in review, lament is the pathway of first coming to God in prayer, and then in prayer offering our complaints to Him, then asking boldly, and lastly choosing to trust God. And again, I cannot commend this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Mark Vrogop, more highly, and to go more deeply into this category of lament. So I hope this brief overview whets your appetite for more, and I pray this encourages you greatly. May God bless you. In closing, it needs to be said that the quotations were in throughout this podcast were taken from Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Mark Vrogop, 2019, used by permission of Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers in Wheaton, Illinois, 60187. And you can look things up at www.crossway.org.